Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Eli Lilly, we had the pleasure of speaking with David H. Ilson, MD, PhD, a medical oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, to discuss current approaches to the treatment of patients with advanced or metastatic gastric cancer, gastroesophageal junction cancer, and esophageal adenocarcinoma following the approval of two chemoimmunotherapy combinations in the frontline setting. On May 5, 2021, the FDA approved pembrolizumab plus trastuzumab, fluoropyrimidine, and platinum-containing chemotherapy for the frontline treatment of patients with locally advanced, unresectable, or metastatic HER2-positive gastric or gastroesophageal junction adenocarcinoma. The regulatory decision was based on findings from a pre-specified interim analysis of the first 264 patients enrolled to the KEYNOTE-811 trial, which showed that the chemoimmunotherapy combination elicited an overall response rate of 74% versus 52% with placebo. Shortly thereafter, on April 16, 2021, the FDA approved nivolumab plus select types of chemotherapy for the frontline treatment of patients with advanced or metastatic gastric cancer, gastroesophageal junction cancer, and esophageal adenocarcinoma. Data from the Phase 3 CheckMate 649 trial showed that nivolumab plus leucovorin, 5-fluorouracil, and oxaliplatin, or capecitabine and oxaliplatin, resulted in a significant improvement in survival in treatment-naive patients who had PD-L1 positive advanced gastric cancer, gastroesophageal cancer, and esophageal adenocarcinoma versus chemotherapy alone. In our exclusive interview, Ilson discussed treatment sequencing for patients with gastric and gastroesophageal junction cancers, the integration of immunotherapy into the frontline setting, and key ongoing studies in the field. Thank you so much, Dr. Ilson, for taking the time to speak with us for this episode of Enclave On Air. Let's first start by kind of going over some of the factors that influence sequencing for patients with gastric cancer in terms of therapy, patient factors, tumor and disease factors, et cetera. What are you really considering when you're looking at this patient population?
I think when we're discussing metastatic disease, we're now in the era of genomic profiling, the availability of targeted therapies, and the recent approval of earlier line use of checkpoint inhibitor therapy. So it's mandatory when we see patients initially that we do a battery of immunohistochemical stains at first assessment. And there are three tests that should be done, you know, before any treatment decision is made. One is HER2 testing, and more recently, PD-L1 testing, and of course, DNA mismatch repair protein testing. These are all relevant in making first-line treatment decisions in patients with metastatic disease. So for the paradigm, if a patient is HER2 positive, which we can do with immunohistochemistry, they're immunohistochemistry 3+ strongly positive, then they would get trastuzumab as part of first-line chemotherapy. That improves all outcomes compared to chemotherapy alone. And if patients are IHC 2+, then we do FISH testing. And if they're FISH positive, IHC 2+, we also declare them HER2 positive. Patients that are IHC 1+, we don't test or zero, they're declared HER2 negative. So then now we have the more recent advent of mismatch repair protein testing and PD-L1 testing. About 5 to 7% of gastric cancers are mismatch repair protein deficient, and not necessarily germline as part of Lynch, but these can be a somatic presentation. Patients have promoter hypermethylation, and it leads to silencing of the promoters that code for the mismatch repair proteins. Mismatch repair protein deficient cancers are highly responsive to checkpoint inhibitors. So, and we even have randomized phase 3 data in the first line from the KEYNOTE-62 trial that a checkpoint inhibitor was better than chemotherapy as first-line treatment in mismatch repair protein-deficient gastric cancer. And you could argue to give such a patient a checkpoint inhibitor alone, pembrolizumab or nivolumab, or a checkpoint inhibitor plus chemotherapy. It's not clear if chemotherapy added benefit. And now with the earlier line approval of checkpoint inhibitors in metastatic gastric cancer, both nivolumab and pembrolizumab, we need to check for PD-L1 testing. Usually it's better to do the combined score, which is the tumor and macrophages and lymphocytes that gives a more accurate reading. And about 60% of patients are going to be PD-L1 positive. So in terms of the choice of chemotherapy, NCCN guidelines endorse two drug regimens. We usually recommend FOLFOX, potentially capecitabine oxaliplatin, but FOLFOX is better tolerated. Three drug regimens, adding Taxotere up front. There are randomized trials in more contemporary series looking at a regimen like FLOT versus FOLFOX, particularly in older patients, which did not demonstrate a survival benefit, and a large Japanese trial that looked at docetaxel added to S1 cisplatin versus S1 cisplatin alone. Over 700 patients showed no survival benefit for triplet therapy. So a two-drug regimen, preferably FOLFOX, and now we do HER2 testing, mismatch repair protein testing, PD-L1 testing. HER2 positive, we would add trastuzumab. If they're mismatch repair protein deficient, we would think about first-line use of checkpoint inhibitor. And the PD-L1 issue that's now controversial now that checkpoint inhibitors are approved first-line, regardless of PD-L1 expression. Now, even in the HER2-positive patients, pembrolizumab is approved to combine with first-line chemotherapy. So HER2 distinguishes the addition or not of trastuzumab, but HER2-positive or negative, we would include a checkpoint inhibitor as part of first-line chemotherapy. In terms of sequencing, again, chemotherapy with or without trastuzumab, chemotherapy with a checkpoint inhibitor is now standard first-line treatment. Second-line standard would be paclitaxel ramucirumab. That's really a global standard. It was better than paclitaxel alone. What we have new in the HER2 space is the approval of the drug trastuzumab deruxtecan, which is now approved in the second or later line trial in patients that are HER2 positive. So we now have a choice in second line treatment in HER2 positive patients. The concerns with trastuzumab deruxtecan, even though it's an active drug and high response, long duration of response, we recently had validation of the activity in the gastric DESTINY-02 trial, which was a Western phase 2 trial, which validated a fairly high response rate for trastuzumab deruxtecan second line, very similar progression-free survival that we saw in the randomized trial from Asia that led to approval of this agent. So second line options are defined. Now that we're using checkpoint inhibitors, mainly first line, this actually led in the past, before we got approval of earlier line use of checkpoint inhibitors, we did have approval for pembrolizumab in the later line setting. If a patient was chemotherapy refractory and PD-L1 positive, we had approval of pembrolizumab in refractory disease. And that approval was recently retracted because of the earlier line status of the drugs and because there were some supportive later line trials that didn't support continuing that indication. The other approval doesn't always doesn't necessarily apply to GI cancers, but in patients that have a high TMB, 10 or higher, there was also a tumor agnostic approval for pembrolizumab in later line treatment of patients that had TMB high solid tumors. But again, the later line use of checkpoint inhibitors in esophagogastric cancer, even squamous cancer of the esophagus, is now being supplanted by the earlier line use. So I just want to discuss a little bit the controversy regarding the first line use of pembrolizumab and nivolumab and the role of PD-L1 testing. So a regulatory approval was granted for these drugs irrespective of PD-L1 status. However, if we look at the actual trial data, which did demonstrate when you add pembrolizumab to first-line chemotherapy in esophageal and GE junction cancers, if you add nivolumab to first-line chemotherapy in GE junction and gastric adenocarcinomas, this did result in improvements in response rate, progression-free survival, and overall survival. However, if we look at CPS status, the benefit is clearly diminished in patients that are CPS low or negative. For instance, the pembrolizumab trial, they reported data for CPS scores greater than or equal to 10% or less than 10%. And there was clearly a strong benefit in the CPS 10% or higher patients. In the CPS less than 10%, the hazard ratio diminished to around 0.89. It was still less than one, but it was clearly a diminished benefit in the lower CPS patients. And it has led some to question whether we should restrict use of pembrolizumab to CPS 10% or higher in the esophageal adenocarcinoma squamous cancer patients. For the nivolumab data, there was a similar trend. And we have to remember that the primary endpoint of the CheckMate 649 trial was outcomes in CPS 5% or higher patients. And certainly in all patients, there were improvements in response rate, progression-free survival, and overall survival. But the benefit was largely in PFS and overall survival was really limited to the CPS 5% or higher. Although all subgroups had improvements in response rate, if you look at the CPS less than 1% or CPS less than 5%, the hazard ratios for progression-free and overall survival were nearly one. So it's unclear if we get survival and PFS benefits for first-line use of nivolumab in gastric cancer patients with negative or lower CPS scores. So that remains an ongoing controversy, but the regulatory approval does permit use of these drugs irrespective of PD-L1 status. And toxicity was not really enhanced. So in the vast majority of patients, these are safe combinations of treatment to use. I think this has been a game changer in this disease. It's the first time we've moved median survival well above a year in esophagogastric cancer with the first line use of these agents.
And I guess that kind of leads into my next question in terms of remaining questions with regard to sequencing that kind of need to be further developed. And is there anything even beyond this controversy that maybe needs to be fleshed out a little bit more with either ongoing research or new therapies that are coming into the pipeline or anything like that?
Well, we'd always like to see better biomarkers to identify patients that best benefit. Certainly mismatch repair protein deficiency is a clearly validated biomarker, again, that needs to be tested in all patients. The PD-L1 status, I would test because it's going to give us a sense of who has a better chance of benefiting from upfront checkpoint inhibitors. And to me, you know, what's exciting now is the study of new novel immunotherapy combinations. Particularly promising appears to be the combination of a VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitor like regorafenib and lenvatinib with a checkpoint inhibitor. We've seen very remarkable phase 2 data for responses in colorectal and gastric cancers. And that has led to an interest in potentially adding the VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitor in a trial setting up front. There's an ongoing randomized trial, the LEAP trial, which is looking at adding upfront lenvatinib to a checkpoint inhibitor plus chemotherapy in the earlier line treatment. And obviously, now that we've demonstrated benefits in advanced disease, we now want to see whether checkpoint inhibitors have an impact on adjuvant treatment. So we have a completed trial with pembrolizumab added to perioperative chemotherapy in gastric cancer. That's one of the KEYNOTE trials that's completed. We have an ongoing trial with durvalumab added to perioperative FLOT chemotherapy. That's the Matterhorn trial. And then there are ongoing trials in Asia, the ONO trial, which is looking at upfront surgery followed by adjuvant chemotherapy with or without nivolumab. So there's a clear interest in looking at these drugs in the adjuvant setting because we now actually have approval for adjuvant nivolumab in esophageal and GE junction adeno and squamous cancers after patients get chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. If there's residual disease remaining at surgery, adjuvant nivolumab significantly improved disease-free survival, actually doubled disease-free survival, reduced the risk of developing distant metastatic disease, even reduced local recurrence. So we already have an approved indication now for nivolumab in the adjuvant setting of esophageal and GE junction cancers who receive chemo, radiation, and surgery. And let's see how the studies play out with the addition of a checkpoint inhibitor in the adjuvant setting, which is the curative setting.
In terms, you know, we're still on the heels of the ESMO Congress. Were there any data presented at this year's meeting that really stood out to you as being potentially practice-informing in the gastric cancer landscape overall?
Yeah, I think in terms of global randomized trials, there were two trials that stood out. One was the updated CheckMate 649 trial, because that was the trial that looked at nivolumab plus FOLFOX alone, which led to regulatory approval for nivolumab. There was a third arm on that trial, nivolumab and ipilimumab, a non-chemotherapy-containing arm that was actually closed prematurely due to adverse events. The data were presented for the nivolumab, ipilimumab versus FOLFOX, and was actually did not show superiority for nivolumab ipilimumab over FOLFOX. There was a late separation of the curves, but as written, this did not demonstrate superiority. So I don't see ipilimumab and nivolumab moving forward as a first-line treatment in gastric adenocarcinoma, now particularly that we have approval for nivolumab plus FOLFOX. That being said, we do have data for ipilimumab, nivolumab in squamous cancers of the esophagus from the CheckMate 648 study that looked very promising and that actually did show a superior survival in squamous cancers for ipilimumab, nivolumab versus 5-FU platinum-based chemotherapy. So it may potentially move forward in squamous cancers. The other interesting trial came from Asia. This was looking at yet another checkpoint inhibitor, sintilimab, which was compared in first-line treatment of gastric cancer, sintilimab plus chemotherapy versus chemotherapy alone. That was also a positive trial. So I suspect we may see in Asia another checkpoint inhibitor moving forward in first-line treatment in gastric cancer.
Are there any ongoing studies that you're either personally part of or that you're kind of closely watching that could further impact the paradigm that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, so I think we talked about the completed and ongoing trials of adding a checkpoint inhibitor to perioperative chemotherapy and other targets that are look promising. We heard recent positive randomized phase 2 data for combining the FGFR inhibitor bemarituzumab with first-line chemotherapy. That was a positive trial in the randomized phase 2 setting. It also indicated that the target population, FGFR overexpressing cancers, accounted for about 30% of the tested patients. So this is a viable target that may be common in patients with gastric cancer. So I think a further phase 3 evaluation of bemarituzumab in earlier line treatment is warranted. And the other target that's looked promising from randomized phase 2 data is Claudin 18.2. That's the gap junction protein that's overexpressed in 70-80% of gastric cancers. We had positive trials for the agent zolbetuximab, which targets this pathway, combined with first-line chemotherapy in gastric cancer and Claudin 18.2 overexpressing patients. There's two ongoing randomized phase 3 trials of zolbetuximab, either with capecitabine oxaliplatin or with fluorouridine platinum-based chemotherapy. So two phase 3 trials that are ongoing. Now that we have first-line approval for checkpoint inhibitor therapy, it may be more difficult to accrue to a placebo-controlled trial first-line because I think many patients will want to get checkpoint inhibitor as part of their first-line treatment. So whether these trials evolve to consider adding a checkpoint inhibitor plus these novel targeted therapies remains to be seen. And obviously, with the advent of molecular profiling, which we're doing routinely now in patients, we're hoping to identify more targets and potentially pathways of targets, and always the rare pathways like NTRK gene rearrangements, which are rarely found. But it's an exciting time. Progress is incrementally being made, and the future is bright for the further development of checkpoint inhibitor therapy as well as novel targets.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we didn't touch on but you think is important to highlight?
Yeah, I think it's important, even with the advent of new first-line standards of care, to remember that the priority should always be to enroll patients on clinical trials so that we can move the field further forward. The time is now.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, sponsored by Eli Lilly. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and Enclave SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.